The Webcomic Beacon. No, really, it's a style. Hosted by Fest and Tanya.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 9 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. I'm Fess.
And I'm Tanya.
And this week, we are going to be talking about developing a style. And actually, we got a couple of emails on the subject at hand. And I will start off with a message from T-Bowl of tbowlcomic.com. He says, I think developing a style of your own has to do specifically with how you draw versus how you want it to look. Catering to your own strengths is the only way to be unique because nobody can draw exactly like you. It is as unique as your fingerprint, and you will end up what will end up being your signature. And he says, goes on to say, remember how hard it was developing your signature, and he says basically webcomic style is pretty much the same thing. I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
You kind of got your own, natural flair, what you're naturally going to be drawing with. But you can also, choose to try to draw something in a particular way.
Yeah, I mean, and certainly, if you have the inborn talent to, to learn artistically, learn different styles.
Right.
Certainly, if you're starting off and you're an absolute newbie,
your style
you
tends to be stick figures, yeah. No, it's a style. It's a style.
It's a choice.
No, it's not that I can't draw. What are you talking about?
Of course not. It's just it's time management.
Time management.
Yeah.
We got another email. Basically, it clarifies it things much better. And I'm going to go ahead and try to read as much of it as I can. Let's see, Kian Brown of Angry D Monkey. What is his website? It's angrydmonkey.com. He writes, if you're talking about webcomic style involving art, please be sure to mention that it would be a good idea to learn even some basic anatomy. As I've been told, it's better to learn how to draw things properly. Then you can alter and change as you please, since by then you'll have an understanding of how things are supposed to be done. That is something that I hear people with actual talent trying to tell me.
Yeah, that it's good to start with a nice foundation. Yeah. I gave it a shot. I've tried.
I have a joke I want to do make a little comic between you, your character, and my character. And I'm looking at, remember the Webcomic Beacon single panel comics cover you drew?
Which one?
The single panel comics.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. No, of course. That one? Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you really have one boob that's smaller than the other.
I really don't. I can't get that one boob. I have no idea what's
so
wrong.
So I want to draw my character looking at you. Come up to you, erase your one boob line, and then put a better boob line there instead.
I can't draw the forward boob properly. I don't know why.
You have it scoop up too much. You gotta.
I know. And then when I make it low, it ends up like witch boob. It's down.
Yeah, it's sagging boob like you're not wearing a bra.
It's bad. It's so bad. I don't know. And I like boobs. You would think I would be good with that, but no. No.
Wait, I like boobs just as much as the next person, but
I can't get the hang of that forward boob. Oddly enough, yeah. Not a lot of tutorials on forward boob drawing.
Well, actually, funny thing you mentioned that. If you go on our main site, on the left-hand side, it says all about us, get involved. There's a link for webcomic resources. Now, I've been wanting to slowly add to this, and I encourage any of our listeners to submit various tutorials that they find for webcomicers or just drawing in general. Now, we got in our link page, under tutorials, we have webcomic tutorials from Joel Fagan. We got a Photoshop masking and coloring scanned line art from Starling of the webcomic Candy. Make Your Own Font tutorial by John Norton. I forget which comic is his. Also, there was a forum topic that was
right
there. Yeah, it was called Tips on Drawing Women. That was actually from the Webcomic List forums, because I think I started it because I wanted people to help me out. And they actually have some, there's some good information on there. And a few posts down, they kind of tell you how to, you know, draw boobs a little bit better, draw a bust line. I mean, it has a pretty good diagram of how to assemble the anatomy of a woman. And, you know, obviously, if you want to try to do something a little cartoony, you know, I'm still told that it's best to know the anatomy as how it's supposed to be, and then go from there.
Right.
But
And what you do is, if you learn how to draw it in a more realistic, detailed fashion, then if you're going for a more cartoony style, you just erase all but the outlines. Is you know, the easiest way to go about it.
Or and then you exaggerate.
Right, and then you can contort and exaggerate those outlines. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with that boat. It's a bad boat.
So yeah, check that out. And
I will. I'm looking at it now.
And once again, anyone who's listening, if you know of a tutorial, a good tutorial, or like if there's a forum topic that kind of got out of control with information, send us a link to that. Tell us where it's from. Well, the link will tell us where it's from. But send it to us, and we'll add it to our webcomic resources list. And you know, spread the knowledge, because that's, you know, what we're here on the Webcomic Beacon for. You know, amateur webcomic podcast by amateurs for amateurs, essentially.
Right. We'll try to help each other out.
Yes, especially when it comes to drawing boobs.
It's an important topic.
Oh, let's see. What were we talking
about?
What was the point of this this week?
This is developing a style, remember?
Oh, developing a style.
That's right.
Okay, we're talking about boobs. Okay.
Nice. So we both have one-track minds, and this can't go anywhere good.
Okay.
All right, what I was going to say.
Go ahead.
Generally, you know, a lot of the people that I've talked to, when we talk about developing a style, it really comes down to, what are you good at? You know, what can you do consistently? You know. Week by week by week, that is gonna, you know, look the same and feel the same, and how long does it take you to do it? Because when you are producing something with a regular schedule, you do have to keep that time frame in mind. You know, I can draw much better than I do for the comic if I spend another 20 hours, but not gonna. You know, I'd love to make that sound classier, but it comes down to, you know, this balance between time and art and the feel of the comic too. So
right, and I do think that consistency is, at least consistency is a lot better than anatomy in some aspects, because depending on if your style is very, very different, that basically doesn't pay no mind to anatomy as much. At least being consistent in your errors will make it look more like you did it on purpose, and you are going for that style. I mean, it's like if you constantly have the elbow in the wrong spot, and it's inconsistent from panel to panel or comic to comic even, which I've seen a couple of times in some people's comics, where the arm is longer than the other. And
yeah. I just call those errors. I should be calling them style.
Well, yeah, style.
I did it on purpose. None of my people have elbows in my universe, and it has nothing to do with my complete lack of skill. No, it's a style. It was perfectly intentional.
What about as far as this is kind of a vague thing, because you can't really develop a style so much. I mean, you can train to draw in a different type of style, like cartoony, realistic. Photorealistic, even anime.
Yeah, I mean, of course you can train to draw in, you know, different genres.
Yeah. But it's like, okay, yeah, let's talk about that on like the anime or manga style. There are some people that do just like, I don't know what they're called, like the 5 yen manga, basically the cheap I almost had to censor myself. The really cheap manga that basically looks the same. It's just for a quick subway story or something to read on the train real quick. There's a lot of people that just go do the. It looks like an anime, but they don't really. I've seen plenty of people that put their own little spin on it. It's not exact. I don't know whether it's not they can't actually draw anime well enough to copy it like that, but it looks different enough. You can see that it's anime inspired. But it looks like they have enough of their own self in it that you can't really find that style elsewhere as much. You know what I'm saying?
And when I think of an artist's style, when I think of a comic style, I think, if I can see a drawing and immediately know who drew it, that shows that person has a very strong style. And like you were mentioning the very generic manga, you wouldn't know from one person to the next.
You really wouldn't.
You know, in Japan, it's intended to be that way. It's all supposed to look the same.
They mass produce their stuff, so they need tons of people to draw the same in order to get a book done or an anime done, or however you're supposed to really say it. I don't know. Some people are picky. anime,
but
anime.
Anima? No, that's different. If you're looking to be, a cell animator, I guess that's a great idea to learn to do something exactly the same over and over and over again.
Yeah.
But no one is ever going to... I don't think individuals will pay for your work. I mean, unless it's been in a major film and they want a piece of the film or whatever else, but, just for your style, the people who are attracted to artists and want their commissioning are attracted because they have that style, because I can tell when I see something that David Wolf did.
Okay.
He does Paranoia High. I automatically know that David Wolf did it. When he started doing E.H. Joe's, before I had spoken to him, before I'd looked in the forum, I knew that he drew that. Same thing can be said for Brian Patrick of Akimbo Comics. He just did a guest art for me, which is up on my site, and I got it in the email. Before I looked at the name, I saw the little snapshot, and I knew immediately who did that. And that, to me, is fascinating. That to me, that right there is having a style, having a comic style, is to be recognizable.
Right.
Like Tebow said, like a signature.
I mean, some people will pay for, their characters or something done in anime because, cute, it's anime, yay! like an artist alley at a convention or something like that. But it's like you can almost bet that they're not going to remember who did it unless
of course
it has
not.
Unless
and it
has
matter.
Their own style,
Right.
There was one point on my webcomic PSI, I had Justin from Masters of the Art draw my characters doing a little like an anime thing, basically, with the rushing streaks behind them, like they're charging, going, and I wanted my characters kind of looking like that generic anime, gonna jump into battle type of thing, just to be funny. It was really cool, but it wasn't, as generic anime as I was really picturing, but it was still really cool, though, to see it.
Yeah.
That was funny. I mean, he has much of his own style. It's like, he looks a little bit different because he's not used to drawing like a furry or humanimal character, but it still turned out really awesome looking. So, but he has, I think, Masters of the Art kind of has its own style well enough to be able to say it's inspired maybe by like a manga look, but it's a little over the top in some places. But anything that he does, I think I could pretty much tell that he did it.
Yeah, it's not duplicated. He didn't buy one of the you can draw manga books and just kind of take off with that. I see those at the Scholastic book fairs, and I always think, oh no, another generation is coming. Oddly enough, decent place to learn about anatomy in those books we were talking about before.
Proper anatomy.
Believe it or not, in the Learn to Draw manga books, they start out with proper anatomy, teaching you proper anatomy, and then they teach you how to exaggerate it.
Make the boobs five times as big as the head.
Five times as big, so the superpower is keeping the suit on. Yes. Always.
and then, you know, exaggerating the male torso so that it's physically impossible. And
right.
Yeah, but they do start out with proper mechanics, so it's not a bad place to start.
Yeah. So basically, quote unquote, developing an art style would basically be learning to draw anatomy, knowing where things are supposed to go, and keeping it consistent between your drawings.
Yeah.
I mean, you can always...
And I've even noticed, like, in comics like Ugly Hill, where, you know, you're dealing with monsters. They're not actual, you know, human creatures.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a decent amount of anatomy there.
Yeah.
You can still look and you can see the way proportions were exaggerated and the way joints have been exaggerated. And you can tell that there is a basic understanding of human anatomy there.
Right.
And I think that's what makes it reproducible and successful, is that it's not arbitrary. There's a framework.
Yeah, you can say it's, you can, some people that don't draw well and they claim it's a style. If the consistency isn't there, you can't really claim that.
No.
You were mentioning monsters. Think about tentacles. You know,
yeah.
If not in that way.
Not hentai.
No. No, just think, like, a tentacle will curl in certain ways. If you start having your tentacles in really odd positions, which they could never be in without completely snapping.
Like ribbons,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah, they need to wave, they need to arc, then, you know, they can't bend at 90 degrees.
They don't fold in half.
Well, it depends on how cartoony you want it to be for something, but it looks a lot more... Okay, if you're going to draw tentacles, it's like the same thing with anatomy. Look at how tentacles actually move. Look at some octopi or squids, mm-hmm. or something. You know, you have a more flowing character versus some sort of like jaggy character that's hard to follow with the eye. If you don't, I mean, you can get into certain styles, but if something keeps doing something really weird that seems unnatural, you kind of get taken out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because it'll draw the eye first. And, you know, that that ruins all your pacing. If you're looking at a 5-panel spread and everyone's eye is immediately drawn to panel 4 where you have this, you know, awkward position or physiologically improbable pose, you've ruined the whole flow of that strip. And, you know, obviously, you know, amateurs are amateurs, and it takes a long time to get there. But, starting with basic human anatomy is a good idea.
The only exception I can think to that is some sort of, like, purposely deconstructive, you know, comic, which exists out there. So it's like, obviously, we're not saying, like, we know all, and this is a flat-out rule for everything. For some things, it works, but I kind of think those people kind of know what they're doing.
When you bring that up, the first thing I think of is People to Insanity, which I believe is at peopletoinsanity.com, which is a very abstract comic, and he does a lot of things where proportions and things are very stretched and very odd, and he's clearly a classically trained artist. So, you know, he can play with those things, and plus it's in a different format. It's not a regular paneled strip. It is meant to be abstract. It is meant to pull your eye in different directions.
Right.
And you still need a basic in structure. And I've actually just started the DVD series, The Structure of Man, which is apparently tremendous. We'll find out. If people in my comics suddenly have elbows, you'll know why.
Okay, I just want to say one quick thing about this. And I just want to say, for those that are drawing furry comics, or if you don't like to use that word furry because of the negative connotations that other people place on it, use the word humanimal if you want. Don't say anthro. Anthro is anything that you give human characteristics to. The brave little toaster is an anthro, okay?
That's right.
You know, say anthropomorphic humanoid animals, or say humanimal if you really want to. But whatever. Anyway, if you're going to be drawing humanimals, be sure you'd like look and know how to draw the actual animal, for especially their face, because mm-hmm. some people just kind of draw something. It's the face looks kind of odd, especially with the other side of the eye. the other eye on the other side of the head. You know, learn how to draw your animal that you're going to be turning into a humanoid or whatever. Or even if you're drawing regular animals in a comic, be sure you look at how those animals actually look and how their bodies are proportioned and how they are. That is also very important because we're talking about anatomy. Might as well bring that up too. And that's good information for anyone drawing any type of animal in a comic. So.
Oh yeah.
So anyway, right now we got to take a break, but first.
Brett Hanley with Casual Ramblings.
Today our topic is developing a style, and my guest today is Rudy M., well-known style maven. Welcome to the show, Rudy.
Thank you, Mr. Brett. And on the subject of style, may I say your flannel jacket shirt really works for you? Very slimming. It doesn't make you look like a middle-aged fat man whose style clock stopped in 1997 at all. After the show, will you be watching your Friends episodes on your Betamax? Hello, Paco. I miss you.
What? Actually, that sounds pretty good. No, wait. The subject is webcomic style, not my personal dressing habits. What can you tell our listeners about developing their own style?
Well, it's very important to develop your own style, but it can be tricky. You want your style to be close enough to someone else's style that the critics don't get weepy when they try to describe it, but unique enough that no one accuses you of plagiarizing.
Plagiarizing.
That's what I said. Plagiarizing. Like how Zonka Harris from Doomsbury is directly plagiarized from the dude from Anywhere But Here.
Oh, you mean plagiarized.
That's what I said.
No, you said... Never mind. I don't think anything in Doomsbury was plagiarized from Anywhere But Here. Doomsbury's been in newspapers since before ABH's author was born.
I wouldn't know about that. I only read the style section to see if they mentioned me.
All right. Is there anything else you have to offer on the subject of style?
Well... I suppose I could give some examples of how to punch up your style. For instance, your comic here is... Oh. Huh. Tell me, Mr. Brett, do you perhaps draw your comic with your feet?
What? No.
Then perhaps you use your left hand so it's more challenging.
No, I... You know what? This interview is over. Back to you, Fess.
Find more from Brett Hanley at casualnotice.com.
The Webcomic Beacon is proud to be an affiliate of The Geek Media. TheGeekMedia.com has a number of geek-related websites, podcasts, and blogs for you to check out. Check out TheGeekMedia.com.
Webcomic Beacon is hosted by Zephyr.net. Free hosting for free thinkers. Adjusting frequency for Brock Heasley.
Hello?
Hello, is Brock there?
This is he.
Hello, Brock.
Hello.
This is Fess.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Doing good. How are you this evening?
Doing just great.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming with us onto the Beacon.
Appreciate being invited.
And you do the webcomic Super Fogies, is that correct?
That's right, yeah.
When did you start this comic?
Let's see. I started it back in September of 2006. I was on MySpace at the time a lot. I was doing a blog there, which was mostly... prose stories from my life, that type of thing. And every once in a while, I'd slip in a little comic something. And because that's my first love is comics, been drawing comics and or comic book characters since I was a kid. And one of my readers, you know, in one of the comments said that I should do more comic stuff. They really enjoyed them and said, you know, maybe I should do something stupid like, you know, old superheroes in a nursing home or something. And, so we both kind of laughed at that and I, you know, I just thought it was a stupid idea, and I set it aside, and I didn't think about it. And about a month later, I saw this contest that Viper Comics was running. They were looking for a new webcomic, and I thought, oh, that'd be cool to win. Of course, I didn't really know what a webcomic was. I'd never really done one. But then this idea that this reader of mine, his name was Tad, that he came up with, came back in my mind, and I started thinking about it, and I sat down, and I drew the first strip, just like that, and I just kept on going. And here I am today, about a year and a half later.
Nice, with, it looks like, a full 100 strips now.
Yeah, yeah, just hit 100 yesterday, which would be, by the time this is, anybody hears this, will be a few days ago. But yeah, just hit number 100, wrapped up chapter 3, and yeah, I'm rocking it. I hope I am. but yeah, once I started going on it, once I started making it, I started getting all these ideas and pretty much planned out the first several years within that first month, and I'm sticking pretty close to that plan. And so the end of chapter 3 came with a fairly large reveal.
Awesome.
So you mentioned that comics were your first love. Do you have any influences?
Oh gosh. Well, when I was really young, when I first started reading comics, I thought that the best artist in the whole world was Rob Liefeld. I was convinced of it. And so I did everything I could to copy him and his style, and that really tore up my heart for quite a few years because of that. Got into a lot of bad habits that I only started to realize later on. But other than, I mean, that's what first got me started, making me think that I could, you know, that I could do this, that I could draw like these guys. So in that sense, I'm really grateful to him for that. But, you know, from there, then I started getting into guys like John Byrne and Jim Lee, and Todd McFarlane was huge at that time, talking about 89, 90. And then, you know, as you get older, you start learning about the masters like Jack Kirby. So my influences are far and wide. I'm even just thinking about the way the Superfogies looks. I'm not really sure where I'm taking it from, but I'm sure it's a conglomeration of a lot of different things.
It has a very very simple looking art style. As when I'm looking at it, it doesn't get too detailed where it takes away. It's very clear, concise. You know, your eye easily drags over. Is attracted to everything. It to me, when I look at it, it's kind of got this old school charm to it. And I was discussing it with somebody, and I was guessing it might be the colors a little bit. It kind of feels like this is kind of how a comic would be colored or printed in newspapers back in the day when they always were color. I don't know if that's kind of what you were going for or not, but, you know, it's kind of the charm I saw in it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I definitely wanted to have a certain charm. I mean, the concept is just inherently ridiculous. I mean, superheroes, they don't age. They just don't. And to actually have that be the main conceit, that they have aged, and that now we're seeing them in their most boring phase of their life, essentially. But I mean, what you think would be boring, hopefully I've made it a little bit more exciting than what you might think at first blush. So I wanted it to have a certain amount of charm. When I developed the style, when I first sat down and I did that first strip, it was an experiment. I'd never done a strip like that before, where I had four panels and I had to get a point across and I had to get a joke across. And so the challenge that I set to myself was, well, let's see if I can do one of these a day for 5 days. And so the style that I started with was basically how fast can I draw style. And I think if you go back and you look at that first strip, it's pretty obvious that I was doing things a little quickly. But in retrospect, that was actually a really good idea for me, a really good way for me to just not overthink things, to just get in there down and dirty and just draw characters. I'd never did any preliminary sketching for the characters. The first drawings of the characters are in those first strips. The first designs are in those first strips. And I just went from my gut, and I drew as fast as I could, and I just tried to make it an economical way of drawing for me, so that I could, you know, find out if I could do this strip thing.
Do you have any formal training?
I'm sorry, what?
Did you have any formal training?
Yeah, I mean, I have a degree in graphic design. And, you know, I take art classes in high school and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, in my drawing, I mean, I've drawn, you know, all kinds of different styles, cartoony, realistic, you know. But like I said, for Superfogies, it was just about how quickly can I draw it. And then since that time, I've started refining the characters, and I still draw it pretty quickly, because, you know, you have to get these things out, but I definitely think I've come a long way since those first strips.
Now,
My favorite strip, I think, exemplifies everything we've been talking about today, is strip number 52, which is where you're taking a look at one of the characters in extreme detail. And then in the very last panel, it goes back to, you know, your art style. And it shows, I mean, you definitely have skill. And it shows how the cartoon that you've developed is, in fact, your style and not just what was left over, from an attempt.
Right, exactly. That one, I like that you like that one, because that one's one of my favorites, too, because not just because it was a chance to say, hey, I can really draw, you know. It was a chance to do something a little bit different. It's definitely got a different tone than most of the other strips. And it was something, it was kind of a, although I don't think anybody got this, but it was kind of a callback to Calvin and Hobbes, like most of us strip artists do at some point or another. Or I love those ones where Calvin would fight dinosaurs, you know, and they'd be super hyper detailed and very well rendered. And that was a direct contrast to the way Calvin and Hobbes were drawn themselves. And so that was kind of my little nod to that a little bit, but with a story purpose.
Oh, yeah.
Is there anything that you can say to people who are maybe kind of struggling and trying to find their own style? Do you have any tips?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is to look at what you're doing, what your genre is, you know. Mm-hmm. If you're doing a crime type of strip or a comic book, you better learn how to use shadows. And if you are doing something, about funny animals, something like, you know, Pinkerton, then you better have some great character designs or great animal designs. But whatever you're doing, let the style emerge, you know, let it emerge naturally. Don't try to ape somebody else. Just draw how you want to draw. And don't be afraid, too, to let your style evolve over time. Don't be afraid to make subtle changes. You know, I try not to ever just do broad sweeping, hey, the character looks totally different on this strip than they did before. But I think if you compare the current strips to the earlier ones, obviously the characters are drawn differently. But I think I did a fairly decent job of making them evolve over time so that it wasn't jarring. I think you have to allow for that. I don't think that's a bad thing. And I don't think it's something the new artist should be scared of. They should allow that to happen instead of sticking so closely either to somebody else's style or something else that they like. Just do what's comfortable. And style will emerge with time.
Do you have any tips for maybe shedding your influences? You know, you talked a lot about, you know, be careful not to mimic.
Right.
I noticed that one of the things that I do is that if I start getting sick of something, if I start not liking the way something is done or I get bored of drawing it that way, I'll just change it. I'll just stop doing that thing. And I think I have to think that if you're aping somebody else, eventually you're going to get tired of that. That's going to become a chore. And if anything's becoming a chore, then to me that's a sign, chuck it. Just get rid of it. Just do something else. Find a different way to attack that problem. You know, everything in storytelling, everything in comics is just problems. And your drawing and your writing and everything you're doing is just solutions to those problems. So, you know, attack it a different way. There's always more than one solution. That's the great thing about art.
Excellent. That's some very good advice. We were talking about style earlier, and I think you said it best already. So,
well,
you blew away our entire earlier discussion.
Yeah, we wasted all of our time earlier.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Maybe I should just get off now.
Is there anything coming up in Super Vogies that maybe people would be excited for? Is it more of the same?
No, I think there's some really exciting stuff coming up in Super Vogies. For those that aren't too familiar with it, I mean, just quick background. I mean, it's about a group of characters that do live in a nursing home, and at one point in time, they were all, you know, the superheroes of their day, probably, you know, in the Silver Age. Back in the 60s was kind of their heyday, and now they live in this one spot and in this nursing home, and it caters to them. They have a pig that has a jetpack that works as their anesthesiologist, and and a mysterious figure as their head of Valhalla, which I'm sorry, the name of the place is Valhalla. That's the name of their nursing home. and that's run by a mysterious figure who we just found out a pretty big secret about in number 100, so I won't spoil it here for those that haven't read it yet. But but as we go into the future here, we're going to definitely be dealing with the repercussions of that reveal, and some major stuff is going to be happening. Some new characters are going to be coming into the facility and be a part of the strip. Regular cast members, new regular cast members, and people will die, and people will get shot, and all kinds of crazy things.
Well, cool.
And I do definitely recommend Super Fogies. It has a great sense of humor, and the pacing is always excellent. You also have a real knack with your reveals, and that's something that I definitely appreciate. It never happens in the middle of the panel, so.
No, try not to. I do love the cliffhangers. I have to say, I'm a fan of those. I like it when they're done to me, yeah. And I like doing them.
Yeah. that much.
But
is
I always
true,
pay them
yeah.
off, so. Everything's now, everything
how much,
has a,
how much
has
of
a
your
point.
Style? How much of your style do you think is involved in panel placement and things that we don't necessarily think of as comic style?
Well, you know, it's funny because I was reading Making Comics by Scott McCloud recently, and he has a chapter there on style, and he talks about how we usually think of style as the way somebody, you know, renders the left kneecap or how they, you know, draw a head or whatever. But style is really about a lot more than that. It's about how a person or a genre or an artist tells a story, about how they pace it, about how they handle dialogue, about how they handle camera angles. And that was a real eye-opener for me. That was something that I felt like I knew on one level but hadn't really ever thought about. So, you know, the way that a story is set up and the way that it's, you know, the way the pins are set up and the way they're knocked down, that is just as much a part of it as anything else.
Well, Brock, your information, your insight has been great. Your comic is excellent, and people can find that at superfogies.com. That's correct?
That's right. It's super, F-O-G-E-Y-S, .com.
Awesome. And you also have the first 59 strips put together?
Yeah, book one, we came out a few months ago, and it collects chapters 1 and 2, which is the first 59 strips, plus a backup story that was made just for the book. And we're also right now taking pre-orders on book 2, which collects all of chapter 3, and has its own little backup story that's exclusive to the book also. And those are both for sale. When you go to superfogies.com, there's a store link at the top. That's because I just don't want to spoil the story for everybody.
Of course. Well, Brock, thanks very much for coming on to the Beacon. And you can check out Superfogies at superfogies.com.
Thank you very much.
All right, see you.
Thank you.
Would you like to get involved with the Beacon? Just send to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
Special thanks to Witchy Bunny of HiddenDisguises.com for being our announcer, and also thanks to Brian Lake for providing music for the webcomic Beacon.
Let's hear some webcomic impressions from Aaron Edwards.
Hi guys, I'm back, regrettably sober, and Fest asked me to talk louder into the mic. This week, it's Thick Pie at thickpie.com. The first thing you'll notice is that you won't even see a comic until you navigate through 2 more page loads. That's f***ing annoying. Find some way to hook up your returning readers with the current comic. I don't even like clicking through once, let alone being forced to open a drop-down of doom, then scroll to the bottom upon every f***ing revisit. Anyway, the art is hyper-cartoony with scattered cut and paste, but the writing is some funny f***ing shit. The dialogue pacing is bizarre but wonderful. For a gag-a-day Clueless Losers project, this one delivers where others fail. Next, Calamities of Nature at calamitiesofnature.com is about 6 months old online. and this was a very nice surprise. Clean, unique line art, flattering colors, and an attractive web design, there's not much holding this project back except for finding its audience. While it does feature talking animals, it's more classic cartoony than furry. Topics seem to center around politics and general statements about our society, so think Bloom County only with a different panel layout. It's dialogue-driven for sure, but it always comes to a point. This is definitely a comic for the intelligent mainstream, a demographic that webcomics haven't fully propagated yet. If Tony Pirro does manage to strike that vein, then the sky is the limit for Calamities of Nature. That's all this week.
Find more from Aaron at anatalie.com.
There's a couple of things I want to mention this week. If all goes to proper plan, the Web Cartoonist Choice Awards should be announcing the top nominees very soon. February 1st is when they said that they're going to be announcing them, but I did get word that because they have to hand tally every single thing right now because they don't have any automation, it might be going a little bit later because they need to check and verify, you know, email addresses to the webcomics that people are representing. It might be a little bit later, but hopefully that'll all come out before February 8th when the actual final voting round begins, which will go until February 22nd. And so we'll probably reapproach this sometime next week, and hopefully we'll get Frank or Mark on the air next week and talk a little bit about the nominees and the categories, and then Tanya and I will probably talk about our own picks probably.
Yeah.
One more thing I want to mention. If anyone's heard of stripfight.org, or just, you know, stripfight at stripfight.org, which is, have you heard of Stripfight?
I have, actually. Some of the Squidworks guys participate.
Strip Fight is essentially, there's a, I think it's bi-monthly, two times a month. Is that right? And
I think so.
They'll announce a theme. And I think right now the theme is, it's round 143. And the theme is, you have to draw a comic about, this is how it ends. That's where... this week, which is the week of January 27th. And basically, you draw something up, submit it. After 1 week, they'll show what people have drawn, and they'll put it to a vote. And I don't know if they changed it or not, but it used to be that you vote one out of five for each one. So
yeah,
it kind of prevents... you know, fans of one person just voting just for that person. You basically give each submission a score about
right.
How it is, and then it kind of, you know, averages them out between the how everyone voted, and then averages them out again between all the totals. So it seems to be a very good voting system, and I highly recommend people that maybe not have much better to do with their drawing time and maybe just have some fun. And you know, get involved in their forums and check it out. I'm hoping to get one or two of the guys from Strip Fight on the show sometime, so they can talk a little bit about you know, about Strip Fight.
Yeah, it's good practice.
So that's stripfight.org. Let's see here. That's all we really have for this week. Let's see. What should we do next week?
Next week we were talking about the Webcomic Choice Award picks. You just said that, actually.
I suppose we could talk about that. Well, that won't take up a whole show. So, actually, we just got an email back. We're going to have an interview next week. We are going to be having O from Commissioned at commissionedcomic.com. And now that we have that settled, next week, our main topic we'll be talking about commissions. So please join us next week. Alright, well, that's all for the Webcomic Beacon this week. I'm Vess.
And I'm Tanya.
That's all for the Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.